Hey, what's up, y'all? Man, welcome to another episode of the Next Level Living Podcast, your favorite podcast. You know what I'm saying? I'm Jeremy Anderson, your host. Our other co-host, Mike, he ain't here. His flight got delayed, but we got K Hart. How you feeling, cuz?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling so blessed right now.
I know that's right.
How you feeling?
Man, good. You see, I got this goofy smile on my face.
I see you got some new ink too, huh?
I knew you. I should have wore a sweatshirt.
No, we see it.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Well, let's get into it in a minute, right? I'll tell you about it in just a minute.
Okay.
But man, look, y'all, we got somebody real special. Real special. Mm-hmm. My wife, which is like, when she first met you, she was like, I'm not calling him Wall Street Trapper.
Facts.
His name is Leon.
This is fact.
Like,
this is fact.
And everybody on the moon, she'd be like, how's
fact.
Leon doing? I'd be
this
like,
Leon
who? She'd be like, I'm like, oh, trap.
This is facts.
Man, we have today, y'all.
This is facts.
My brother.
Yes.
My friend.
Yes.
Man, we pour into each other.
Mm-hmm.
We be having early morning prayer calls, mm-hmm. wake-up calls, accountability calls. Mm-hmm. I've seen his growth and matriculation over the years. He became a voice for this next generation when it comes to the stock market, investing, wealth, right? Manhood. Mm-hmm. Man, my brother, my friend. Mm-hmm. A prolific speaker. We
Come
gotta
on.
Talk about that.
Come on, man.
No, seriously.
Come on. Took the stage
Come on. Seriously.
And I said, my.
Right.
Man, my brother. With a phenomenal testimony, man.
Yeah.
Multi-millionaire, super successful, changing thousands of lives, putting them in the game. My brother, Wall Street Trapper.
Hey, man, I don't think I ever had an intro like that yet.
Come on, man.
I'm excited to meet me. God, Jesus, man.
It's so much I can say about you.
Yeah, man.
I'll never forget your first trip. Was it to Africa?
Africa, bro.
Bro, when I see you out in the exotic part, like you in the jungle swimming.
Yeah.
I was like, what you doing? You was like, bro, I got to get away.
Yeah.
I'm unplugging from social media.
Yeah.
I'm just spending time with God.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost is like, yeah, keep them close.
Yeah.
Because I ain't having many conversations of people where we are in life.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, yeah, that's cool. I'm going to put that on pause. I mean, I'm excited for today.
Mm-hmm. Nah, man, I think that was probably one of the most pivotal moments on my journey.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, as a black man, you like, you hear stories of, man, I want to go to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think because I did 10 years in prison, like my favorite black man of all time is Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Right? And I studied him for so long. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, I'm not even comparing myself to that greatness right there at all. But I saw so many similarities in my life with his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him at a young age becoming like a man child.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? With so many different adversities that you have to overcome, and then you feel like you just go through the world alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of my favorite scenes in the movie was him sitting in the corner by himself, watching his mama, knowing there's nothing he could do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I felt like that. Like I watched my mom go to prison. My grandmother passes away. I'm 13 years old.
Sheesh.
I'm in New Orleans. That's a whole monster.
That's a whole thing.
You know what I'm saying? That's a monster. And we talking about the years in New Orleans when it was at its peak, like murder capital, back to back.
Right.
So I'm 13 years old. Like, I don't got nowhere to go. So I'm with my mom's. So my mama is a gay woman, been a gay woman my whole life. The woman she was with put me out. This is how I get through the homeless phase. Like, I had a house, but then she was like, nope, go. You know what I'm saying? And so I remember like just being homeless for that period of my life.
Yeah.
And fast forward, I remember when Malcolm went to Egypt and his life just
shifted.
Because it was a spiritual shift for him.
Yeah.
And it was like this awakening, this veil came to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happened to me. Like, I'm like, man, I'm about to, and I want to stand for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I did a whole 30-day Joseph over there. So, so many amazing things happened to me over there from being able to jump into the ocean. I remember when my feet first hit the sand, I was like, yo, I'm really in Africa.
Really,
this is crazy.
For sure.
Yeah.
Eating with
the people.
Seeing how like they wash their hands real good. They take their shoes off. There's no talking about outside stuff while you're eating.
Hmm. Yeah.
There's no utensils you're eating with your hands.
Yep.
Right? And so all of those things symbolically just did something to me.
Absolutely.
And it just put me in a different place. And I unplugged from everything. And then to go from Tanzania to Kenya to Egypt and then Dubai. Like a whole tour. Yeah, I did a month out there. It just did something to my spirit.
And, mm-hmm. and took you to a whole nother level. Yeah. I saw the shift when you came back.
I spoke at your event, like right when I came back.
Oh, man, bro, and when you told the way you told the story,
yeah.
We're gonna get into that in a minute. We're gonna get into that in a minute. So look, Chris. Okay. So, you know, we was already chatting. Mm-hmm. Before we even start filming, right? Because, you know, our background with our family, New Orleans and Hammond, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Let's go all the way back.
Okay.
To the beginning.
Okay.
Right? You know, you said you spent 10 years in prison.
Yeah.
Like, how old were you? You know what I'm saying? What got you there and what happened there?
Oh, man.
Give to us make that shift, right?
So, I'm 16.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. So, prior to that, I went to Delaware for like, my uncle tried to help me.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, all right, like my nephew is out there. Like I need to try to like help him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cause he's like the only man.
Mm-hmm.
It's all girls and him. So I go to Delaware and I hate to use this analogy, but it's kind of like if you put something wild in a domesticated environment.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I'm going to ravage that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that was just what happened. Like, I went up there and they had structure. I was like, man.
No.
This ain't my life, man. No. Yeah, this ain't my life. Y'all tripping.
Yeah.
And I remember I had robbed somebody up there. I hadn't got a couple fights up there. I started hustling up there. And I think the straw for my uncle was, I'll never forget this, they went to the Kings of Comedy. And my uncle deliberately told me, like, yo, don't bring nobody to my house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, bet. And I had my little cousin who now helps me with my business. Like, I was like, look, here go this money. Don't tell on. And I remember I had like a female back there. I had all kind of other stuff back there. Yeah. And she was like, yo, she just told her mama. She was like, I don't know. It was some white stuff. It was some green stuff. And he had a woman back there.
Oh, man.
And my uncle was like, bruh.
I told
you. What we doing, bruh?
Right.
And her mama was like, nope, he got to go. He got to go. And then the police came to the house looking for me. And I'm in Delaware. They was like, yo, we had an assault. She was like, nah, he got to go. And so my uncle was like, yo, you got to go, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood it because I disrupted the home.
Right, for sure.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. As much as a man, as much as you want, you still got a wife, you still got a home, right. And I'm disrupting all these boundaries y'all putting together.
Exactly. Right.
So at the time, I didn't understand it. As a man, now I understand it.
Okay.
So I go home. I go back to New Orleans. I'm back in the wild.
Yep.
I'm back in the wild. Mm-hmm. So I'm living with my aunt now. She on drugs. So I opened my first trap house. So we had in New Orleans, it's full of duplexes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So my auntie was living in this house. The lady who owned the house, she was on drugs. So I was like, look, check this out. There's nobody living here. I'll pay you drugs to let me have this side of the house.
Hmm.
She's like, all right, bet. So I opened my first trap house when I'm 16. You just go through the motions with that, man.
16.
I was 15 at the time. I wound up getting robbed. So, I want to talk to you about this too, man. Damn, this is good. So, I was dealing with a female at that age, and I trusted her. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking care of her. Right. She was like my reprieve. She was like my getaway.
Right.
Like that was a sense of love that I was yearning for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And she knew how to, like, at her age, love me, I guess. And so I wound up getting set up by her.
Sheesh. Delilah.
Yeah. I wound up getting, ooh, that's powerful.
That's
ooh.
Deep.
Damn.
Ooh.
Gee. So that's I wound deep. Up getting set up by her. And I took her to the spot and she was like, yo, I'm hungry. I'm like, all right, bet. And I rented this hotel and I rented a room for me and her brother and her sister because her mama was on drugs. Like being on drugs was like the norm.
Yeah.
Like so your mama like, being on drugs or something. Like you ain't even like, your mama on drugs. You like, you all right with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I ran to this store called Chinese Kitchen to get us something to eat. And when I come back to the crib, soon as I knock on the door, dude opens the door, grab me, put the Mac 11 to my head, throw me on a bed, and I'm staring on a barrel of a pistol. He's like, bro, where's that? And in my mind, I'm like, damn, it's crazy because, like, I've been on the other side of it so many times
Wow.
Like I already kind of understood the protocol. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of understood, I can look at his demeanor. Mm-hmm. Or he new to this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he ain't been doing this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He too close to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sizing him up because all my OGs, like, this ain't new to me at this time,
right?
And mind you, and now I'm 16.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, man, I ain't got no drugs, man. You tripping. And so he like, man, don't play with me. And I'm starting to realize, like, he talking to me too much.
Mm-hmm.
And because he talking to me so much, in my mind, oh, he ain't much about this.
Hmm.
So now I'm trying to, like, I could take him.
Yeah.
Right.
In my
start
mind.
Start strategizing.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I could take him. Like, this easy work. I'm like, oh, I'm about to talk to him, like lure him. And he's so close. I'm like, I'm going to slap the gun, take the gun from him. Like, in my mind, I done played out the whole plan.
Right.
But then she says, the drugs over here, the money right here, it ain't worth your life. And that, like...
Because you ain't know you was being set up at that point.
Nah. Well, immediately I knew what it was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, ah, psh, bet this is what this is.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm not even worrying about her because I'm like, she not about this. In my mind, they're like, let me take care of this issue in front of me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The superior threat.
Right.
But when she says, Leon, it ain't worth your life. Man, the guns right here. I mean, the drugs right here and the money right here. And I had just told the dude, like, I don't got no money. I don't got no drugs, bro. You tripping. Immediately now you put my life in danger times 10 because now it's like, bro, you lied to me.
Yeah.
I should kill you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when, I ain't gonna lie. When she said that, it was kind of like the ultimate betrayal. And it like, it crippled me. Samson. Like once he realized Delilah told the people to cut his hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, the act of y'all cutting my hair is cool, but it's like, how did you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And right. I think that part, like, I was like, oh, it just took the air out of me.
It's a paralyzing feeling.
Yeah, it took the air out of me. And so once they got away, like 2 days later, I found out who it was and I wound up shooting him.
Mm-hmm.
I shot him 5 times. Wound up going to prison for it. And in prison, it was a whole new like experience. I'm 16 years old.
16, right.
I'm 16 years old.
So you were like the juvie part till you turn 18 and then move you
nah,
over?
Nah, bro.
You were 16?
I'm 16 in New Orleans. They waited like 30 days and it was like, nope. Once they realized the type of gun I had, once they realized, they were like, yep, go across the street. You go to the Orleans Parish Prison.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see this big sign that says you are now entering a real jail. And I promise you, bro, like,
let me ask you a quick. Hold on. Let me ask you a question. Let's go back. When he first had that Mac at your face, you were staring at the barrel. Was that the first time a gun was put on you? And what was your first thought?
It wasn't the first time because I had done been shot already. So I got two bullet wounds right here that went straight through. And I got one on the side of my butt that grazed me from the same situation.
So
it wasn't my first time being under gunfire. Mind you, my first time introduction to violence was seeing my mama get shot 6 times.
Okay.
That was my introduction at 9.
Yeah.
Mm.
So gun violence wasn't.
I remember the first time I had a gun pulled on me, like to my face.
Yeah.
It was by this dude they called Merc.
Mm-hmm.
And he had already had 3 under his belt.
Yeah.
So I'm staring on that barrel.
Like I'm number 4.
Mm.
Bruh.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't processing like, I'm not sizing him up like, oh, he ain't really.
Right.
I had already heard about him because we got into it a few days before at the club in the parking lot.
Okay.
And so he had already had 3 under his belt, hence the name Merc.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at, staring down the barrel of this
Uzi. Like, damn, I'm number 4.
But bro, I'm so dumb.
Mm.
Bro, the pride in me was just like, I wasn't even afraid. I was just so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in broad daylight on Winchester Drive in Huntsville, Alabama, outside a gas station.
Come on.
He was like, nigga, I should murk you right now.
Yeah.
And I just stood there and I was just so angry because I left my piece in the car.
Yeah.
And then I was with some suckers.
Yeah.
I wasn't with my partners.
Yeah.
I was with some little homies.
I understand.
And they scurried.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, I got to deal with y'all when we get back.
Yeah.
So then he looks around after about a 10-second stare down and gets in the car and he was like, I see you. I think he was thinking like, I ain't trying to do it right here.
Broad daylight.
Gas station cameras.
Yep.
So me and my real homies was looking for him for 2 whole days and couldn't find him.
Yeah.
And that was a beautiful thing.
It's a blessing, bro.
Because, you know, I was on some stupid stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I was wondering like when you were staring down the barrel, how you felt, but you had already been shot 3 times.
Yeah, like it wasn't... like violence is such the norm in New Orleans. Like I tell people even right now, like if you go to New Orleans right now and there's a shootout, there's everybody understands the protocol. Like it's not really a run, I'm scared. It's of let me identify where it's at. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's not cool. That's a form of PTSD. Mm-hmm. And so for me being in that situation, it wasn't even much. Like I wasn't scared, man. Like, and I'm not saying that to sound bold or nothing like that.
No, for sure.
I was already in that environment. Yeah. It's like when a hyena see a lion, like he ain't scared. They about to start strategizing. Yo, you go from that side. Like I already went in mode. That situation also, bro, like I'm dealing with something right now that I'm realizing is emotionally.
Trust.
It's crazy. Emotionally, I've come to the realization that that has hindered my emotional engagement with women.
I can see that.
I've just come to that realization.
Right.
That has hindered me. And it's because I've always, because I guess when I come home from prison, I really didn't. But when I try to connect now.
Yeah, because when you felt that peace, when you felt that sense of connection, it was compromised.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I get to that point, I'm opening myself up for this to happen again.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like, I'm looking at the gravity of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, man, I loved her and she cheated on me. It's like, she did me wrong. It could have took my life.
It took my life.
Yeah.
And then it did cost me 10 more years.
Come on.
Like, I'm just now, like literally, brother, no lying. I am just now coming to the realization that I probably got to go back to therapy to talk about that part of my life.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah.
I'm just now like, damn, this whole something. I apologize for that. But talking about that made me, I'm like, yo, why can't I like connect the way I want to?
Right.
Because I want to.
Because your connection is linked with trauma.
Yeah, man.
So Chris, this one made me super proud. Bro, when you went to Instagram about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I think it was like the start of maybe 23. And you was just like, yo, I'm about to heal.
Yep.
You said, I'm about to go through a healing process. Man. Chris, when I saw this, I showed it to Tracy. She was like, I'm so proud of Leon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was just like, yo, I'm about to heal. Like, I realized I've experienced some traumas.
Yeah.
Like, I deserve love. And so now I see you. I don't want to get too far because we still got to get into your story. But I see you now traveling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Once a month.
Yeah.
At the Potter's House.
Yeah.
TD Jakes.
Yeah.
Getting that word.
Yeah.
Every time I look up, you're reading a new book.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I see that growth and healing take place.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to let you know, bro, and I'm going to let Crystal speak on it. Once you get that healing.
Yeah.
Bro, the person that God got for you.
Yeah.
Bro, what you've experienced now was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, brother, when I tell you it's a whole nother level, you ain't even seen yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that one thing that you, that's that one thing that you lacking. That's that one thing that you, you know what I'm saying, to have that rib, to have that person next to you by your side, like that's right there's going to give you a cutting edge. I was on the podcast recently and they was just like, yo, what's the difference between like different phases of men? I said, you got adult males.
Mm-hmm.
There's some cats out here, they adult males. Like, you an adult.
They of age.
You got pubic hair.
But they not an adult.
Yeah. You're an adult male. You become a man when you're able to, you know what I'm saying, like, take care of yourself, handle your business, independence. But you would become that next level man.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, I got people that's depending on me now.
Yeah.
When you get to a point where it's like, you got a daughter. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you take care of your daughter. You know what I'm saying? You take care of yourself. Then you got a queen, a wife. Like, that's a whole nother level when all the moves you make is specifically for that person or that group of people, like that's a whole other level there, bro.
And I know, like, for me, it's because I want it.
Yeah. Hmm.
And I think the hard part for me is, like I say, I just come to the realization, like, yo, this was blocking me.
Mm-hmm.
And it don't got nothing to do with nobody. It's all internal.
On this couch.
Yeah.
Right here.
Right here. It came to me, like, I'm like, yo, I gotta peel back them layers because it's emotional block.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll have the right intentions and then emotionally I just disengage.
Yeah. Cause it's like it's only a matter of time.
Like I just disengage. Like we can be vibing, we can be, and I'm not a person. I don't gotta have 50 million. Like let's vibe. At some point when I feel like I'm being the most vulnerable and I'm in it, I emotionally, I check out.
That's deep.
I check out.
And that's the one thing they want.
And I don't even much be trying. Yeah. Like, I don't be trying. Like, yep, let's do this. Let's do this. Because I want to grow. I want to spend the time. I want to vibe. I want to connect.
Yeah.
I want us to, like, where I'm at in my life, everybody around me, this, I'm like, I need this. Mm-hmm. I want the comfort.
Yeah.
I want to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Hmm.
But then something in me, I just disengage. Hmm. And then I go to fighting, trying to get it back. I'm like, yeah. No. Trap, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And now, instead of me focus on building, I'm now fighting to stay engaged.
Straight up.
Instead of me like, yep, let's do this, I'm fighting now to stay emotionally
engaged.
And now that becomes tiresome to me.
Yeah.
For sure. And so trauma... Oftentimes,
golly, man, this is a therapy session. This is what I signed up for.
This is a healing couch.
Damn.
This is straight up.
But you know that trauma can have us self-sabotage some stuff.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. And it's not even in relationship. I got one of our employees, you know, saying this person was talking real froggy. I was just like, you be careful. If you ever think that somebody can do my job better than me, I would say, oh, they in survival mode.
Yeah.
They feel backed in the corner.
Yeah.
So Holy Ghost was like, slow down, give them grace. I said, hey, be cautious of what you say next. No, I'm just saying. I said, I'm giving you grace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be cautious of what you say next. You upset right now. And the trauma from the past got you self-sabotaging.
Yeah.
I got the longest text later in my life. Bro. Yeah. I'm so sorry. You're right. Yeah. I was tripping. I was out of bounds. It's cool. I see the humanity in you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, one thing Crump helped me understand, he said, everybody is either, your heart is either at peace or at war.
That's a fact. Every day.
Every situation, your heart is at peace or at war. So when you're in these relationships, it's moments when your heart is at peace. You're like, yeah. But then you feel like, whoa, I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's like when I went to the China King to get the food and I came back into the spot and my man got a Mac 11 in my face. This is like, you know what I'm saying?
Works.
It's like, whoa, I can't open myself up if you go into protection mode.
Yeah.
Because that took away 10 years of your life and could have cost you your life.
Yeah.
And so as you get that healing, brother, man, the queen that God died for you.
Yeah, man.
And you know, we all about action on this podcast. Because what stop people from going to the next level, and you know this all too well, is they don't take action. So I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
No, facts.
And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to hold you accountable.
No, facts.
Come on, remind me. Like, let's talk about how we gonna pull the trigger. Cause I got two counselors right now.
No, I need them.
Dr. Mobley and Dr. Makeba Williams.
I definitely need them.
Them two powerful black anointed women.
I need them.
They get all up in my head.
Yeah. I need them to get in my head and my heart.
Y'all, for sure.
I need them to get in my head and my heart. Man.
For sure. Yeah.
I need it. Cause this thing cold.
Yeah.
I remember my mom, and I'm gonna tell you why. Damn, we not even in the podcast.
We not even in the podcast.
This gonna be a part two for sure.
All right. So I remember my mama told me this one day, man. This one I knew, like, I had a different type of heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I never met my dad before in my life, ever, 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 ever. So my daughter's 7 now, maybe 2017, 2018, my daughter between 1 and 2, my mom called me one day and she was like, yo, your dad is dying and he reached out to me. He won't see you.
Hmm.
So I was like, probably got no daddy.
Yeah.
I was like, I ain't got no dad. You tripping. My mom was like, no, Leon. I was like, no. I don't have a father.
Hmm.
So at this age, at my daughter being 2, I done already made sacrifices.
Hmm.
So I was in Atlanta. I moved back to New Orleans to be by my daughter. Because I was like, nope, this ain't going to work. Like, I'm flying them to Atlanta to spend time with my daughter. And then I was like, nope, this ain't going to work. So it's 2018. I'm like, nah, let me go back. I'm going back to New Orleans, and I wound up moving to Lake Charles. I was working at a power plant, but I'm coming to New Orleans every weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'm already in daddy mode. Like, this sacrifice has got to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember my mama hit me, and I was like, nah, I'm good. And she was like, Leon, he on his dying bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I said, well, let him die with that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't gotta deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because I'm already making sacrifices for my little one already.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm 30-something years old. He ain't made one sacrifice for me. Can't nothing keep me away from. I'm a fight for mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fight for mine. Mm-hmm. Can't nothing keep me away from. I don't care what circumstances life throw my way. I ain't letting mine go without knowing me. So let him die with that. Because I can't open that up. If I open that up and he die, now I'm living my life full of void.
Yeah.
Right? But he gonna die at peace. Nah, let him die with that and I could live with peace. And my mama told me something in that moment. She said, bro, your heart too black.
Wow.
She said, your heart too black. You don't got no mercy. You don't got no empathy.
Wow.
You gotta change that. And I was like, I ain't really, I was like, man, she tripping. That's on some. I'm like, you on some other stuff.
Right.
But now as I've come into this different phase of my life, as I'm evolving, not even the part about what I said to him, I mean, to my mom about him, but the part my mama telling me, your heart too black. And I don't want to go through life helping these people. And I'm still fighting my own traumas.
Yeah. Right.
Right. I need to be free of those.
Right.
And the only way to do that is, that's why, you know, people like you, I love it. E.T., I love it. Going to T.D. Jakes' church, just listening to the word. I listen to y'all all the time because I know that no matter what we're doing externally, the internal work is the true infrastructure.
Yeah. Facts.
You know, because if I don't do the internal work, then I'm really just walking around with a costume on.
Facts.
Let me ask you this.
Talk to me.
Do you think the reason why you got into like the financial and the wealth stuff is just because it's things you can control and it's not a lot of emotions attached to it?
I think that is one of my greatest gifts in the financial world, because I always tell people that the difference between me and you financially is emotionally, I don't have the same connection with money that the average person has, because I came from the street, because I know losses.
Yeah.
I know, like, I can take those. It don't bother me. Mm-hmm. Like, I can lose $50,000, $60,000 and wake up the next day like, bet, we back at the game, right? Because I love the game.
But you also been at the bottom and you know how to.
You know how. So for somebody that's been depending on that 9 to 5 or even an entrepreneur who is so, like, we got a different connection.
You can't control
emotionally. And I don't care about that. Yeah. So one of, to answer that, it's two things. Yeah. One is because of the emotion involved, which makes me, I think, makes me better than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And two, because it reminds me of the streets so much. Mm-hmm. It's second nature to me. The stock market, investing, the wealth game, it reminds me of the streets. So they literally are identical twins. They identical twins, birthed from the same mother.
One's just legal and the other one's not.
That's it.
Facts.
One's just legal and one is not. But the rules of engagement are the same. Even the product is the same. The marketing, the branding. And the difference is they pay taxes. One don't. They have a legal CEO. We just don't call it that. Like, you, instead of the CEO, you the big dog. You know what I'm saying? Instead of COO, you the underboss.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so they remind me so much of each other. It's so easy for me to play that game because I'm back in familiar territory.
Yeah, that's deep. Sense.
I'm so, back in familiar territory.
Right. So it's interesting too how God worked this out. So, and we'll get, so to all of our next levelers, we're going to get into his story, the transition, the financial part. We're going to get stock market. We're going to get heavy into that.
Come on.
In part two, I want to go back. You go to prison. You went to prison for 10 years.
Okay.
You connect with a mentor.
Okay. Well, he wasn't really a mentor.
He just gave you some game.
He was. So in prison,
you to some things.
In prison, what happens is, man, men like to talk. That's what we got.
That's all we got.
That's what we got. We don't got nothing else but stories on what happened to our life.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So he wasn't really a mentor. He planted a seed in me. So I was in the old parish prison. This another thing, like, I learned that friends aren't really friends in prison. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't really got
they
that.
They just passed the time.
Yeah. So I remember just being in a cell with some dudes out my. So I'm from out the 17th, mid-city, and it's huge. And it's broken down into so many sections. Yep. And we was in a cell, we was talking, and then dude just got up and it was like, man, you a liar, bro. And it punched me in my mouth. Real talk.
What?
He was like, man, you lying. And he just punched me in my mouth, like punched the piss out of me. It's like 12 o'clock at nighttime. And I was like, oh, yep. It's one of the moments. You know what I'm saying? Like, prison gonna put you in. So you, and I always laugh when people say, like, you can go in prison and, like, if you don't bother nobody, nobody not gonna bother
that
you.
That ain't true.
That's a lie.
That's not true.
Right, right. That's a lie. And also when people say, like, so first of all, let me say this. Like, I went to prison for attempt murder and robbery. But people have this idea that people that go to jail for molesting will get messed over. That's a lie.
They get separated, right?
Yeah,
they
like, that's a lot. Like, and even though, like, I know dudes who are rapists, but, like, dudes ain't really, like, messing with them because they know, like, yo, they about that. Like, it's a different, like, in prison, all you got is these. Mm-hmm. If you good with these and you good with that knife, like, nobody ain't really just, because people got their own stuff they dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so I remember the dude just got me, punched me in my mouth. It's like 12 o'clock at night. We running the up, so that's us talking. And he just punched me in my mouth. He was like, man, you freaking lying. And he punched me in my mouth, bro. And you only have like a split second to react.
Mm-hmm.
What you do, and this is when I learned something. You can't never tell a man what they not going to do. You only got to know how you going to respond afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Straight up.
Right? And so my next response was, bet. And we just start shaking in that thing. So it's like 12 o'clock at night. And then after I fought him, boom, I fought his partner. I'm like, wait, hold up. I thought y'all were my dogs. You know what I'm saying? So now I done start fighting him. Because like, you don't really get jumped in prison. They call it like running a train on you. So you'll just fight dudes back to back. So I fought three dudes back to back from like 12 o'clock to 1:30 in the morning. Dang. And so it's just like back to back. But I'm 16. I got the wind of a... I'm with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And kind of is you in a situation where, like, yo, if you stop fighting, you kind of know what's going to happen next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Something about your manhood going to be tested.
Right. How old was he?
We're all the same age. Oh, okay. We're all in the same. I'm probably 16. He probably like 18, 19, 20. You know what I'm saying? So, like, something about your manhood about to be tested in this if you stop fighting. So, it's either, like, go out on your shield or live with your tail tucked.
Mm-hmm.
And man, my mom ain't had no.
Mm-hmm.
My mom had a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So we gonna go out on our shield on this one.
Because mm-hmm. If you let somebody beat you up,
it's a game changer. So wind up going to the hole, solitary confinement, and I'm in a cell. This is where I feel like God like be working. So I go into the cell with this white dude, and in prison, there's two different types of white dudes in prison.
Mm-hmm.
There's the cool white dude who'll get a name, something like White Mike or White Chocolate,
right?
And then there's like the weirdo kind, like you like, nah, you leave them alone. Like they just a typical white dude. Like they on their own. Like, and you don't really mess with them because like nobody prays on the weak. Like that ain't no. So I'm in a cell with dude and he just was chilling. I think he was kind of disturbed by seeing so many black men
in there,
one time.
Up. That's deep.
Cause you don't get it till you see it. Cause even I was like, damn, it's a bunch of us in here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think he was like, man, y'all playing the wrong game. That's his first words to me. Mm. Wasn't what's up, wasn't how you doing. It was, bro, y'all playing the wrong game.
Dang.
And me, I'm still like heated. My blood's still boiling. I done just had a fight.
Yeah.
Like, niggas done jumped me, man. Like, I'm about to, I'm just juggling them boys up when I see him. And I was like, what, bro? What? Like, I want to attack him. He was like, whoa, no harm. But like, y'all playing the wrong game. I'm like, man, what the hell you talking about? Y'all. And what game you talking about?
Right.
You ain't here with me, man. Shut up. You don't know nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, that's my mind. Yeah. Like, you ain't here with me, bro. Right. Shut up. You
don't know. How old is he? 30, 40?
Nah, he probably like late 20s.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Young white dude. Yeah. Late 20s, probably 29.
Yeah. And he told you playing
the
wrong game.
I played
the
wrong. And I was like, what?
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So look. So for those of y'all, for those of y'all, listen, we're going to have him back next week. Y'all got to come back next week.
All right, man.
So we can hear. So
I'm a storyteller.
Yeah, so you can hear part two, right?
All
right. To see how this brother came from living in New Orleans, poverty, father not in this life, you know what I'm saying? Like moving work, hustling, robbing, shooting, you know what I'm saying? Like living that life, going to prison at the early age of 16.
Didn't find
you
want to
figure out, huh?
fighting two more charges.
Mm-hmm. Like, how you take somebody like that to now successful, multimillionaire, father, course, community, traveling the world, changing thousands of people's lives. Like, if you want to figure out how he went from where he was to where he is now, man of God, you want to figure that out, tap in next week, man. Let's get it. I'm on another level. I'm on another level. I'm on another level.